let them fall by the side of the road, and teach them to love one another, that heaven might find a place in their heart. He won't let you down, and I know he lies forever in my heart. We've got to walk on. Walk on through temptation, 'cause he loves.
Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path.
And don't let them fall by the side of the road. And teach them to love one another, that heaven might find.
Heavenly Father God, creator of all things, I humble myself as I pray. Father God, always allow me to speak your will, what it is you would have me to say, instead of what I want to say. I pray this prayer because I was listening to a program. I did not catch all of the program, but I caught some of it. And what the Republicans were doing at this hearing, they were trying to, or they were saying, President Obama's administration is responsible for the death of Mexicans and Americans under the Fast and Furious law passed under the Bush administration. Lord, guide me. Don't let me say things that I should not say, but I'm thinking that if thousands of weapons were sold under another man's administration, why is it that you want to persecute the one that's in office now trying to correct the problem that was created before he even got there? Stop it, God. Let them do what is right. The oppressor is wrong in this. Father God, thank you for blessing Detroit, Michigan, and giving us good weather, even though it's cold outside. It looks like it's going to be a beautiful day. Thank you, God, for blessing your sheep and shepherds with good health, wealth, love, peace, happiness, joy, same mind, your goodness. Father God, thank you for blessing President Obama, his family, and his administration, his vice president and their family, because the vice president is probably catching as much hell as the president. So bless the Bidens. Bless America to overcome this blatant disdain from the oppressor towards the poor as well as towards the Obama administration. Amen, amen, amen. Well, hi there, she. I am Sandra Harris, your hostess, and you are listening to the Feed My Sheep show. I know you have your pen, pencil, pad, or paper handy, because that's what I request of you always, along with your Bible. Today, I'm moved to ask you to get yourself at least an 8-ounce glass of water and drink it. Just drink it all up. And then you still can listen to what it is that I have to say. I'm going to talk to you about Christmas, as well as read to you from the New Testament book of Matthew. And then I'm going to refer you to read the chapter out of the Song of Solomon. We know that Christmas is a yearly celebration on December the 25th for the birth of Jesus Christ. But how did that happen? Well, I went to the computer, and I'm going to tell you some of what I found. And there's a lot more, but I'm not going to read all of what I found. What I found, it's in The Real Story of Christmas, The Origin of Christmas, The Real Story of Christmas, and How It Began. So you can find that on the internet, and I just Googled it. And there was some other information on there that I said, whoa, is that true? So I think that we are of the age now where we can stop teaching a lie. What we need to do is tell the truth and let people make the choice. And this is what God does. He allows us to know the truth, and then we, in turn, make a choice as to whether we want to follow along with what God says or what the world says. And my preference is with God. And let me tell you this, too. Just as I believe God came and told me, or Jesus, to feed his sheep and to minister unto the people, the devil will come to you and tell you stuff too. So let's try to be discerning or know Jesus' voice when he talks with us. Now, how was December 25th decided to be the celebration day of the birth of Jesus? I have three paragraphs that I'm going to read to you from The Real Story of Christmas. And again, I got that off of the computer. The first one paragraph that I'm going to read is as follows. Roman pagans first introduced the holiday of Saturnalia, a week-long period of lawlessness celebrated between December the 17th through the 25th. During this period, Roman courts were closed, and Roman law dictated that no one could be punished for damaging property or injuring people during the week-long celebration. The festival began when Roman authorities chose an enemy of the Roman people to present to the Lord of Misrule. Each Roman community selected a victim they forced to indulge in food and other physical pleasures throughout the week. After the festival's conclusion on December 25th, Roman authorities believed they were destroying the forces of darkness by brutally murdering this innocent man or woman. The next paragraph reads as this. The problem was that there was nothing intrinsically or related to Christians about Saturnalia. The remedy to remedy this, the Christian leaders named Saturnalia's conclusion date December 25th to be Jesus' birthday. Okay, now so we know how that the 25th came about. The next paragraph, it reads, Christians had little success, however, refining the practices of some Saturnalia. As Stephen Nissenbaum, professor of history at the University of Massachusetts, Amherst writes, in return for ensuring massive observance of the anniversary of the Savior's birth and assigning it to its resonant date, or a date that will have lasting presence, the church, for its part, tactically agreed to allow the holiday to be celebrated more or less the way it had always been. The earliest Christmas holidays were celebrated by drinking, sexual indulgence, singing naked in the street, a precursor of modern caroling. Wow. So there's a lot more that you can read about the Christmas holiday. And I think there might be some more that I want to read, but nonetheless, I need to give finish to what I want to do, and that is to talk about how Jesus fits in as was said earlier that the problem was there was nothing intrinsically Christian about Saturnalia. To remedy this, the Christian leaders named Saturnalia's concluding date December the 25th to be Jesus' birthday. So what do we know about Jesus? Well, what I did was I went to the book of Matthew. I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew and go through chapter 1. Chapter 1 talks about the genealogy. Your kinship is genealogy, who you're related to. And it gives the genealogy from Abraham to David up to 14 generations. And what I found in chapter 1, verse 6, it says, Jesse begot David, the king. David the king begot Solomon. And when I went to the Song of Solomon, it was chapter 1, verse 6, it tells you that Solomon is a black man. So I want you to know that Jesus' lineage probably includes black people, in that Joseph is Jesus' earthly father. And by Solomon being a black man, Joseph too was probably a black man. And let me just tell you this story that I have. Many, 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 many years ago, the education that I have is antiquated, is old. So, but let me just tell you this. I had a sociology class, and I bet to this day the students in that class, as well as the professor, would have never thought that I'm going to tell this story on Blog Talk Radio, an internet radio program where millions of people can listen to it. One day, our professor started talking about the Madonna, and he mentioned that, you know, in other countries, the Madonna, Mary, and the baby Jesus are of color. They're not white like you see here in America. And then he went on to say, you know, Jesus Christ was a black man or a man of color. Now, that was a jaw-dropping experience for me. And then this, I guess this woman, at the time she was in her 30s, and she says to the professor, "You know we know that, and that's why we don't believe in that." And the classroom, I looked around in the classroom, she was standing up. The professor got up from around his desk and stood like two chairs from over by me, and I was one black person along with one other black person in the class, along with maybe 15 others. And I looked around at their faces. They were all red, including the professor's. His cheeks were red. And so the class got quiet. I said, "Well, you know, I'm here to learn. I'm here to get an education. I'm not interested in fighting. But if I had to, I probably would have told her up. She just doesn't know." How lucky she may have been. But then once the professor quieted the class, he went on to try to prove his statement by saying that. And you'll find what he said in Matthew, the second chapter. Let's see. Verse 13, he says, Joseph had a dream where he was told to flee to Egypt and take his wife and child and to stay there until the death of Herod. He went on to say that Jesus, he said that the people over in Egypt, they are not white. Some of them, you know, you may have a few white people living there, but the majority of the people in Egypt are black, as well as people of color. So, in America, we have been taught wrongfully, and no one is trying to correct it. That's just like I find out that Christopher Columbus never set foot in the United States of America. He landed in the Cayman Islands. And I heard a fascinating story on PBS where the Germans had been here long before the Plymouth Rock. So I think that we have been taught a lie, just as with Christmas and telling our children about Santa Claus. That's not true. It's just a story. And we make up this story and we lead our children to believe in a lie until they get old enough to know better. And then they go ahead on and teach their children that lie until they get old enough to know better. Let me start reading to you from the book of Matthew, chapter 1. I want to start reading at verse 16, and then I'm going to read all the way through to chapter 2, verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 16 reads, "And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until the Christ are 14 generations." Verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. His mother, Mary, was betrothed. That means she was to marry Joseph. She was betrothed to Joseph, was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make a public example was minded to put her away secretly. Now, let me just stop here for a moment and tell you this. For many years, I worked with a Jewish fellow, and sometimes we would talk about, you know, I would go to church just about every Sunday at that time. And so he told me that most Jewish people do not accept Christ as the Messiah. And he was trying to wonder, why is it that we do, or the African Americans, because most people back in the day would go to church. Well, I accept Jesus because that was what I was brought up in. My family went, and I went. And then, when I got a little older, and I had this dream about feeding my sheep, I really began to accept Jesus, because it doesn't matter to me what his beliefs are or were. It's what I believe. And I know that Jesus is alive, and he is alive. He is invisible, but he is alive. And I'm going to tell people, as long as I have the opportunity, to repent, with change your behavior, and accept Jesus Christ. And I did not be obedient for many years. And I asked God, I said, God, if this is real, you know, I'm simple. I am a sheep. And you know what they say about sheep? They say that sheep are humble, and they do what other people tell them. That we're easily influenced or led. We're stupid and dull. So I said, God, help me. If you really want me to feed your sheep, then you got to make it plain and simple. Years later, he came back to me in a dream and said, minister unto the people. And so this is why I do what I do. He said, minister unto the people. I got up out of that dream. I didn't want to have any parts of it. And I went about 5 or 6 hours later, I went back to sleep. And I went back to sleep in that dream again where it says, minister unto the people. Fear not, I am with you. I got up and I stayed up. And I fell asleep in my lazy boy chair. And then I got on up and went to work. But, yeah, God, Jesus is real for you unbelievers. And I cannot make you believe, but I can just tell you. So, and then my coworker further told me that this same statement here that I just read, that Joseph did not want to make a public example of Mary because she was pregnant before he married her. She was already pregnant when she went to be with him, and he had no sex with her until after Jesus was born. Let me finish reading this because I want to get, I'm nearing the end of my talk with you all. Let's pick up at verse 20, chapter 1, verse 20 reads, but while he thought about those things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son. That's why God don't want you to have baby abortions either. She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. This gives me an opportunity to tell you to do not shed innocent blood. If you are pregnant, you keep your baby. Don't listen to what the devil says to the and has placed in American law. Yes, you do have that option to go and abort your child. But don't do that. That is not the will of God. You might be birthing another Jesus Christ. verse 22, chapter 1. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. And they're talking about the prophet Isaiah. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn child. And that's why I was telling you that he had no sex with her until after Jesus was born. And he called his name Jesus. Now, chapter 2, and I'll just read verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, and God knows I want to go visit that country. I want to go visit every place that Jesus traveled. But I don't have a passport, nor do I have money. Again, let's pick up a chapter 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Well, I'm going to stop off right there, and I hope that I have said something to give you, for you all to think about. Let's not lie. Let's not perpetuate this lie. Let's not continue this lie about Santa Claus forever. Although I have participated in it, and I have four stockings hanging up at the fireplace right now, but that is as far as I'm going to go this year with it. And I will probably talk with you sheep next year. So let me just give my closing prayer. Heavenly Father God, thank you for this day, allow us to be glad and rejoice in it. Protect us, your sheep and shepherds, from the evil one, no matter what he calls himself, Satan, the devil, or Lucifer. Lead us not into temptation, and give us this day our daily bread. Amen, amen, amen. Take the Lord along with you wherever you go, sheep. I will talk with you next time, if it is the good Lord's will.
Salvation. Lift
of our hearts.